We begin the current daf of the Shabbos daf Gimel. We begin on the bottom of daf Beis and Beis, three lines from the bottom. The Gemara continues discussing the previous daf's discussion, which our Masechta began with, and the Mishnah was talking about that regarding the Malacha of Hitzah, about transferring something from one domain to another, which is the Issa Malacha of Hitzah, that there are two that are four types of liabilities for the one that's inside, and the two that are four that are liabilities for the one that's standing outside. The one on the inside is called the Balabais, the householder, the one on the outside is called the Ani, is called the poor man. And that is that there's, so to speak, the Malacha Beitzah requires an Akir and Anacha to remove it from the domain that you're in and put it, place it into the other domain. That's, you can have two cases that are for the one that's inside. For example, the householder, is he can have taking it out, doing the full one, the Akir and Anacha, and he can bring it in from outside in. That's doing the Akir and Anacha. That's two that one is liable for. That are four, which are that are Pater for, that are only Asim Adirabanan, which is that he could do two types of Akiris. One is that he could take it out from Shasar Yachim and extend his hand to Rishas Rabbim and have the poor person take it from him. Or he could, so to speak, pick it up and the poor man stick his hand inside Rishas Yachad and then the poor man will take it out. Thereby, he'll be doing that Kira in both cases. Both those are the Shehin Dal that are four, that again, that is Asa Likat Chila, but that are Pater. After the fact, there's no Chattis, there's no Skila, there's no Karas. So that is for the two that are four inside and two that are four outside, which comes out to eight different types of scenarios of Isser, again, those that are chayv, that are liable for something, and those that are pater, you're exempt, but that are also like etchil. So the Gemara asks another. Amalei Rav Masna Labaya, Hotamni Havin, are these really eight different cases? Again, two that's four times two for the one inside and the outside. Tarti Sri Havin, in essence, there's really 12 different cases. And that is because you have four that you're liable for, and you have eight that you're exempt for. And that is, you have two Akiras for the poor man outside without doing Hanacha, without placing it down. That is because the householder will put it down. And you have two cases for the poor man outside that'll have two of putting it down, but without uprooting it. And similarly, we have for the Balabais, the householder, the same thing also. So for example, if let's say the poor man extends his hand, his full hand, inside into the Rishus HaYachid, into the private domain. Then the householder takes from his hand and he puts it down. So the poor man's doing the Akira, he's removing it. And the Balabais, the householder, is doing the placing, he's doing the second half of the Malacha. Or for example, let's say he puts it in his hand and he takes it out. So then the Balabais is doing the Akira and the Hanacha is for the poor man. And same thing in reverse. If the Balabais extends his hand, as we learned in our Mishnah. So therefore, why do we learn that Shtayim Shein Arba for the one inside and Shtayim Shein Arba for the one outside? That there are two cases at each one, the poor man and the householder, that they're obligated for, and this two that they're pater for. That would be eight cases. There are really 12 cases because we're only counting the Akiras, the doing half of it, of each one when they, so to speak, remove it. But then there's the other half, which you're also exempt from, which is forbidden to do because you're doing taking a role in the Malacha, which is when you do the Hanacha. So it shouldn't be Shtayim Shein Arba, it should be Shtayim Shein Sheish. It should be that each one has two that are really six, that you have another four that are Aser. The two cases of when each one, either the poor man or the Balabais, will be doing, so to speak, an Akira, when they'll remove it, either again by extending all the way outside, and then the poor man takes from it, or when he just picks it up, and the poor man sticks his hand inside. Those are two types of Akiras. And then you have two Hanachas, where the poor man did his Akiras, and then the Balabais brings it in, either by taking it from his full hand inside, or by taking his hand outside and removing from his hand there. Either way, it's going to be 12 cases, four of Chayiv and eight at a pot, and eight at a Potter, and not eight cases, two that are Chayiv and two that are Potter for each one being eight. So why do we say eight when it's really 12? So the Gemara responds, Utameich, according to your logic, Shitzri Havin, really in essence, there are 16 cases. And why is that? Because you have to also include the other cases that it says in our Mishnah, that regarding those that, let's say we said that when the Ani does the complete Malacha, when he does the Akira, he removes it from Rishas Rabbim, and then he does the Anachi, he puts it into the householder's hand. So he said the Ani is Chayiv, and the Balabais is Pater. Those cases, we should count the Balabais regarding his Ptur, and the same in reverse regarding the Ani being Pater. So you have another four cases. Each one that we have two cases of, for each one, let's say when the poor man could do a complete Malacha, either of taking it out from the householder's hand and into his Rishas Rabbim, or from he's taking it out and putting it to the householder's hand, that's another two. And they have another two in reverse regarding the poor man. So that should be 16 cases, not 12. So according to your logic, it should be 16. So that he answered, no. Amalei holai kasha. That wouldn't be a difficulty. I understand for sure why it doesn't say 16 cases. I was only asking 12. And that is bishleima, very well understood. And then we continue on to the top of Daf Gimel Med Aleph. Bava de Reisha, regarding the first part. And that is, regarding the case that you're telling me that should make it 16, when we say that the poor man is chayiv and the Baal HaBayis is potter, or if the Baal HaBayis is chayiv and the poor man's potter, where each one did the complete malacha, that we say that this that the Baal HaBayis is potter or that the Ani is potter, he's totally exempt from Mechatas, and it's much even like a tchila because he didn't do an Akira, he didn't remove it, and he didn't do the Anocha, he didn't put it down because the other one put it into his hand. It's not his fault. He didn't do an Akira or Anocha. So that for sure, as the Gemara says, Potter Mutter Leketani. We weren't including in the count of ways of having the Malacha of Itzah of cases that are exempt and that they're permissible. That for sure we didn't mention because you didn't do anything. El above the Seifa, regarding the last part, the Potter Aval Asa, where those cases where the person is exempt, but that it's forbidden, that is, although you're exempt from Bekar Mechatis, but it's Asar Midarabana to do it initially, that's Kasha. That I have a difficulty. Why are you saying that it's 8 cases when really it should be 12 cases? Because there you're doing an Hanacha where you're doing something that's forbidden. You're doing half the Malacha. So why are you only mentioning the Akiris, the removal part, and saying that's 2, that's 4? It should really be 2, that's 6 for each one, which will come out to 12, not to 8. So the Gemara asks on this Hanacha that we're, like, so to speak, the way the questioner is having his direction, the Gemara asks on that. We're not answering the question yet, but we're going to ask on the question. Mi'ika b'kuli Shabbos potter mutter. In other words, you said the reason why you for sure have no problem that there's, we're not saying 16, and you're only asking about why there's not 12 instead of 8, because you said that the first part for sure we're not mentioning, because those cases that either the household or the poor man that did nothing, because the other person did both the Akira and Anocha, are potter umutter, that the person is not only exempt, but it's even permissible. Could you even say that regarding Shabbos, there is such a case of when we say that it's potter, that it means that it's even mutter, that it's even permissible to do? But Shmuel said, kol peturi de Shabbos, regarding all the exemptions of Shabbos, whenever we learn in Hilcha Shabbos and Masech de Shabbos that that person is exempt, are potter aval aser. They're exempt, but they're forbidden initially to do it. Bar mehani tlas, except for those three cases, the potter or mutter, that the person is exempt and it's even permissible, which are tzedas tzvi, regarding trapping a deer, v'tzedas nachash, and trapping a snake, umapes morso, if someone is lancing a boil because he wants to have the pus to ooze out, and that is all those cases are explained in Rebbe Leza Oim Ha'erig, which is a parak later on. At the end of that parak, the Gemara explains the reason of them. How do they know that those three cases are not only exempt, but they're even permissible? But the question is, we see from Shmuel that you can't say our mission that says that the Baal HaBayis, let's say when the poor man did the Akira and Anochi, he took it out of Rosh Hashanah, and then he did the Anochi into the Baal HaBayis' hand. So he was passive, totally passive, he did nothing. Then we said that the Baal HaBayis is exempt. Can you really say that he's exempt and even permissible? And that's why you're not counting those four from 12 to 16, because what did he do? But you can't say that he's exempt. And you can't say that it's permissible, because Shmuel said every case of Shabbos are, you're exempt, but that it's not permissible. It would be forbidden initially to do. So the Gemara says, no. When did Shmuel find it necessary to say that these are the only three cases of trapping a deer and a snake and popping a boil, that those are the only cases that it's also permissible? That's peturi de ka'ovid ma'isa. That's regarding to say that a person is exempt in the case when he's performing an act. And then we have to tell you that only those three cases are not only exempt, but they're even permissible, because you're doing an action. For example, trapping the deer and all those things, you're doing an action. However, peturi de lakov and maisa ikatuva, but exemptions when you didn't do anything, there's a lot of cases, for example, the first part of our Mishnah, where not only that you're exempt, but it's even permissible. So that part is not difficult. This that the questioner is so to speak taking for granted that those first from 12 to 16, from the first part of a Mishnah, the one who was totally passive, didn't do an Akira and Anocha, for sure we're not counting those as the Shtayim Shehein to use it as, so to speak, cases of having the Malach Betzah, because that person didn't do anything. So that's why the Gemara says Mekamokim Tartis Rehavin. But again, so there's no question why we didn't count 16, because those four are totally permissible. But the question again has to be answered and addressed, but there should be 12, not 8. So the Gemara answers Peturi Da'asi Behulidei Chiyuv Chatas Kachashim. Exemptions which could essentially come to a situation where you'll be Chayiv, a carbon Chatas. And that is, will you complete the complete Avera that we considered in our account of what are the Malachas of Itzah. But where it's not possible for the person to be Chayiv on the Kira, on the Chiv of Chatas, where let's say he only did the second half of the Malach, he only did Anacha, that like a Chasher, that we did not count. So for example, the cases that we did mention of Shtayim Shenarba, there are two that you're liable for, and there's really reality four, just the second two you're exempt for, those two that you're exempt, the reason why we said it's us like it's chila and that we're counting in our mission because you could ultimately come to achiv chatas. For example, let's say the two that are four, the extra two, are akiras, when you, so to speak, did the removal, which is the beginning of the malacha, right? Because there's akira and anacha, removing and putting it down, where you could be geizer, you could decree that maybe the person might conclude the whole malacha. But regarding hanachas, just the placing down part, where you cannot ever come to achiv chatas because you didn't do the hakira, and that's too late. That was already done, obviously. It was already removed from one place, and you just put it down. So therefore, the four that we said by each one, there were two that you were liable for. And then we had the extra two, which were, so to speak, akiras, which are the removals of ptur that you're exempt for, that are another two, which are essentially forbidden. But after the fact, one is pater, and that is, there's two different versions in Rashi what that is. Either it's because whenever the one who, so to speak, stretches out his hand, he's the one that's starting it off, and that's considered akira, or that it's, so to speak, the one that's actually doing the removal, either from inside or from outside. But either way, there are two extra cases for both the poor man or the householder inside that you could do the removal, and that's why it's two, that's four. But the hanachas, which can never come to, so to speak, a chiyav chatas, because it's only concluding it, so therefore, we didn't count those, and that's why we only counted 8, and we didn't count 12, because not adding the extra 2 of each one of Hanacha, because that's not included in something that could come to the Malacha. And Rashi says that whenever we say liability and exemption regarding Masechta Shabbos, we mean regarding a Karma Chatas, let's say when it's B'shoigig, that if someone is Potter, he's exempt from the Karma Chatas, but again, it's also L'Katchila, that initially he's not allowed to do that. And then that would sometimes be regarding, like in our case, Midrabanan, that Rabban says you're not allowed to do just an akira, even though you're not doing hanacha. So the Gemara resolved now this question that we had regarding why we said shnayim shen arba, which was 4 for each one, which is 8 and not 12. So now the Gemara wants to understand shnayim peturin. We said in our Mishnah that when each one is doing just half, one's doing the akira, one's doing the hanacha, one's removing it from one, let's say the poor man picks it up and he removes it from a shasar abim. But now the householder, he takes it and he does the hanacha, he places it down, both are pater. Although the one who did the akira, initially that's asa l'katchila to do, because he might come to conclude it. But they're exempt, there's not going to be any carbon chatzis for either one of them. To which the Gemara asks, but v'has avida malacha mibinayu. The malacha was done through the two of them. How could they be exempt if they're doing a malacha together? L'chair, each one is taking part in the avera, and they should both be chai, if anything. So the Gemara answers, Tanya, we learned in the Braisa, Rebbe Oimer, says in the Pasuk, Mi'am ha'aretz ba'asaisa, that from among the people, that by committing it, that if this refers to the chi of chatas that a person has for doing a malacha on Shabbos. So we learn, ha'oise es kula, v'lo ha'oise es miktsasa, that a person is liable for the chi of on Shabbos, only if he does the whole malacha, and not if he does only part of it. And Taisa explains, because the word ba'asaisa is split into two words. Ba'asaisa, when he does it, in other words, the reference, when he does the whole thing, then you're liable. But two that do it, then, as the Gemara explains, yachid va'asa isa chayv. If an individual goes and does the whole malacha, then he's liable. Shnayim va'asa isa peturin. If two people go ahead and do the malacha together, then they're exempt because it has to be ba'asa isa. It has to be that you did the whole malacha yourself. It manami. Similarly, we learned amr b'chia bar gamda nizrikum in pichabur of amr. Was advanced this idea from the chabur, from the whole assembly that we're learning there in the Bismedish, and they said the following halacha. That when it says ba'asaisa, it's a reference to say that an individual that he did it, then he's not liable. Shnayim shasu p'turin, however, two, and this is one of the yisaidis in Hilchos Shabbos, when two people do it together, then they're exempt, and that's why in our mission, although again, the shnayim shen arba, these two cases of, so to speak, doing just removal is forbidden initially, however, when it was done amongst the two of them, that one did the akira, one removed it, and one did the anocha and placed it down, then they're both going to be pater, because for chiv Shabbos, you have to do the whole thing yourself. Now the Gemara continues explaining the whole fundamental principle of what we're calling an akira, of that there's two components for the chiv of itzah, of removal from one domain to another, that you have to remove it from one, you have to do an akira, that it's called, and you have to do anoch, you have to place it down. The Gemara now questions. Let's say his friend loaded him up with food and drink, and that is, his body was in Rishus HaYachid, in the private domain, and now his friend loaded him up with food and drink, which he himself didn't do an akira, he didn't pick it up at all, he didn't remove it from the domain. And then he loaded him up with food and drink, which is just something common that he said, which is something that you people usually need for Shabbos, so that would be, so to speak, the way for people to be busy with them on Shabbos. So now the question is as follows. So he loaded him up, and then v'hitzin l'chutz, then he went and walked out with them into the public domain. So Maha, what is the halacha? Akira is gufoy ka akira is chevetz mimkoy medami. Do we say that the lifting of his body And that is that when he picks up his legs from the house that he's in after he was loaded up, and then he goes out into the public, that that's considered like, so to speak, lifting up the object from its place, and that would be considered an akira umachayv, and therefore that person would be liable, because when he finally stops in Rosh Hashanah, he's doing the hanocha, and his getting up and moving out, it was the akira. A dimaloyo, maybe not, that so to speak, it's not the same thing, because he never really actually did an akira, he never picked it up. It was on him already, and he just kept on walking. So Malaysia said to him, chayiv ve'in dimaloyode, that he is liable, and it's not similar to one's hand. And that is because obviously we're considering it that he's answering, he's telling you that no, the removal of his body, although he never picked it up, is going to be considered as if he's removing the object. And that would be considered like he's doing the akira and ananach, although in a sense the friend did the akira and he put it on him, but his moving his body is like moving the object. And he's telling him it's not the same as one's hand, because in our Mishnah it seems otherwise. Our Mishnah says that if, let's say, the poor man's outside and he stretches his hand inside, so again, his body's outside, his hand's inside, then the householder puts something in his hand. So the Tanav Mishnah says that both are potter, even the poor man that takes it out, which would seem to contradict what we're saying over here, because there his hand, which is his body, was laden with food or whatever it is, and then when he removes his hand, l'chayra, that should be akira's gufoy ka'akira's achevetz. So he should be considered doing a akira and anacha, and yet our Mishnah says that no, the balabai is the householder did the akira, he removed it from the private domain, put it into his hand, and now the poor person who's taking it out and he's going to put it down in Rosh Hashanah is doing the hanochi, he's placing it down. That's why he said shneim b'turim, they're both exempt because one did half and one did the other half. But that seems to contradict what we're saying over here, that although his friend placed the food on him, but his moving out his body is like doing an akira of removing it. So he says, no, it's not similar. My time, what's the reason? How is it different? Because gufei naich yodei lo naich, his body's at rest and his hand is not at rest. And that is, his hand is not at rest when the poor man, let's say, sticks his hand inside. It's not at rest. It's not stationary. His body is stationary. His hand is being outstretched. Therefore, when he takes it out, he's not doing an akira. He's not removing it, because that's not the way of Aitzah without an akira and anocha. He's only doing, so to speak, anocha, because he's not, so to speak, removing it. It's only when you're stationary where you are. However, his body is at rest. And in other words, where he is on the ground. And therefore, when he finally moves his whole body, that's nakira, that's, so to speak, uprooting the object from where it was stationed. Because when one hand's outstretched, that's not the stationary place of the object. And therefore, you're never really uprooting it. You're just, so to speak, in process, because the one who picked it from the ground did the akira, and your hand is not stationary, so therefore it's in process, and when you finally put it down, then you just did the hanocha, you didn't do the akira, but when you were sitting, so to speak, and he put it on your back, and then you walked, when you finally got up, that was the akira of the chefetz, together with the akira of your body. Now we continue on to Amud Beis. So Amalei, Reb Chiya l'Rav, so Reb Chiya said to Rav, Bar Pachsi, the son of nobles, in other words, the son of great tzaddikim, he had a complaint with this, that he was posing this question. Didn't I tell you, that when Rebbe's involved in one mesechta and learning one tract, that you shouldn't ask him from a different mesechta? Maybe he's not focused on it, and therefore, since he's not focused, he's going to get embarrassed because he's not going to know the answer. You should only ask where you know that he's, so to speak, ligging in the sugi, he'll know what to answer. And that is the ilav de Rebbe gava rabba hu kasafti. If not for that, Rebbe was such a great person, there was such a big talmid chacham, you would have embarrassed him. And the Bishani loch shenui, the lav shenui, he could have answered a teretz, that's not a really good teretz, and then it would have sounded like, you know, a half-baked, and then it would have been embarrassing for him because he's not in the sug, he's not ligging in it, he's not, so to speak, involved in it right now. However, he said, however, now, you're lucky, so to speak, because he gave you a good teretz to your question, and I'll prove to you the time, like we learned the brisa, so like the teretz that we gave from Rebbe, that it says as follows, we learned that if someone was laden with food and drink from before the Shabbos, in other words, that's similar to the case of when his friend laden him with food and drink, because each case, he never really did an akira of Isser, he never did a removal of Isser. One is because his friend put it on him, and one is because he put it on himself for when it was before Shabbos, so that's not considered an akira because you didn't do it on Shabbos. Then we said, and then if he brought it out, he did a haitzah, he moved out with his body out into the public domain when it was already dark, when it was already Shabbos. So he said, yichayiv. And that is, lefi sheinu deim l'yadei. And the Brisa says the same svar as Rebbe, because you can't compare it to one's hand. That is the case of when you, so to speak, the poor man sticks his hand inside and his body's outside and his friend puts it in. There, as we said, the person is going to be potter because he's not doing an akira by removing his hand, because that's not stationary. Whereas when, let's say, the two cases, either of Rebbe or the Braisa, that someone else put it on him, or he himself put it on him from before Shabbos, and then once Shabbos started, he walked out, when he's removing his body, so to speak, removing the location of where the object is stationary, and that's considered removing it, and that's doing an Akira, and then when he finally stops in the public domain, that will be considered Hanach, and therefore the person will be liable. Nothing more discusses this that we mentioned in our Mishnah regarding sticking one's hand into the Rishus Sayachar or sticking out. We're talking about uprooting and using the hand as the object of taking in and out. So I'm Abaye. Pshitali, it's obvious to me that Yodishal Adam in a Leik Rishus HaRabim Leik Rishus HaYachad, that a person's hand is not regarded neither as Rishus HaRabim, as the public domain, or as the Rishus HaYachad, as the private domain. In other words, from the Mishnah, Abaye says it's obvious that a person's hand that's stretched out into another domain, you don't, so to speak, consider the hand as part of the body totally, to be as the domain that the person's standing in, whether he's in Rishus HaYachid or whether he's in Rishus HaRabim. As Abaye explains, Rishus HaRabim LeDami, we don't consider the hand as Rishus HaRabim, although the person's in Rishus HaRabim. We know that from the Yodah De'ani, from the hand of the poor person, which is, our Mishnah says a case that when, let's say, the poor man sticks his hand out into the Rishus HaYachid and it has an object in it, and then the householder takes it from his hand into the private domain, we say that he's Pater, and that is because the pauper did the Akira, he removed it from Rishus HaRabim, and then the householder did just the Anochi, he took it from his hand in the private domain, and he brought it into Rishus HaYachid. But if we would say that the hand would, so to speak, have the same halacha, it's just an extension of where the body is, so therefore the person's hand, since he's in Rishus HaRabim, should be considered Rishus HaRabim. And now when the householder takes it out of that hand, it should be considered taking out from Rishus HaRabim to Rishus HaYachid, and he should be chayiv. From the fact that the Mishnah says that he's Pater, is because that the hand does not have the same halacha as the body, as, so to speak, Rishus HaRabim, which is that case. And ke Rishus HaYachid leitami, and that we don't consider the hand as the private domain, in other words, if, let's say, it's stretched out into Rishus HaRabim, now we won't consider it Rishus HaYachid, even though he's standing Rishus HaYachid, we know that Miyodi de Balabais, from the hand of the householder, which we learn in our Mishnah, that if, let's say, the poor man takes out of the hand of the householder, that he's also Pater, and that is, although the householder is standing in Rishus HaYachid, and his hand is outside, and now the poor man's taking from it, we say that he's not doing an Akira and Hanocha from Rishus HaYachid, although the householder is standing inside, but since his hand is outside, we don't consider it as part of his body, and as if the poor man is taking it from Rishus HaYachid into Rishus HaRabim, and that's why he's Patek, he's only doing Hanocha, he's not doing an Akira from a different property. However, the question that Abaye had was as follows. So again, it's different than the body. However, Abaye asked the following question. Yodish shel Odom mahu shetasek karmelis. What would be the halacha? Do we consider the hand, we're not considering it neither as Rishus HaRabim, Rishus HaYachid, wherever the body is, we consider it a separate domain. But would we consider it so separate that it has its own halacha of karmelis? And that is, Abaye says that now that we see that we don't consider the hand as an extension of the body, and that is regarding the chiyuv of midaraisa, so we see that it, so to speak, it has a separate domain. So is it that the Rabbanu were machmer, that they consider it like a karmelis? And that is, wherever a person stretches his hand out full, in other words, with an object, into another domain, then now the halacha would be that now he can't bring it back to where he is, and that he should have to leave it outstretched until it gets dark, and that it's Matzah Shabbos. And that, since it doesn't have the same din as his body, it has it, so to speak, it's like a separate domain, so it becomes a rabbinic own domain, which the Rabbanon make a gzera, midrabbanon, they say that there's a separate reshus on Shabbos, which you're not allowed to, so to speak, carry into or out to from there, either whether from Rishus HaRabim to Rishus HaYachid. And that's called a karmelis, like the Gemara is going to explain in Daf Vav, that there are four different Rishuyas for Shabbos. There's Rishus HaYachid, there's Rishus HaRabim. Then there's karmelis, which is a rabbinic invention that makes it forbidden to carry neither from Rishus HaYachid or Rishus HaRabim. And then there's a Mokum Pata, which is permissible to carry from there to anywhere. So the question of Abaye is that since we're considering it not part of the body, and that's why someone is not liable if he takes from the hand of the wealthy man or the poor man, whether it's either way from either direction, we don't consider it as part of his body. So now maybe you can't bring your hand back because, so to speak, it's like a separate domain. And now that's like a karmelis, which is like a rabbinic invention. You can't take from a karmelis back into Rishus HaYachid or back into Rishus HaRabim, whether you're the poor man or the householder. So the Abaye's question is, since we see like we use it for exemption purposes, so maybe it is like the karmelis that now you can't bring it back, you have to leave your hand outstretched, because you can't put it down, because that would be considered doing Hanukkah, and you'll be doing the Malach of Shabbos. But, and you can't bring it back, because it's a karmaless now. It's this own new domain which you can't bring it back into the domain that you're into, whether it's a shasirachad or a shasirab. As the Gemara explains, Abaye's question was, Mikansuhu Rabbanon lahadur gabe. Did the Rabbanon penalize the person that now he can't go ahead and retract it back? And the reason is, since he started what he did, this action, with an Isser, because they told him you're not allowed to do an Akira, even without Hanacha, you can't remove something from one property and extend it into another property. Or maybe not. Maybe they never gave it this halachic domain of Karmelis, and they just said that it's not part of the body, and therefore someone who takes it from his hand that's outstretched into that person's domain, he's not, so to speak, taking it from the other domain. But it's not a Karmelis, and the person would be able to return and retract his hand back into where he is. So Tashma, the Gemara wants to bring a riot. We learned Hoisi Yodei Malei Peiros. If a person's hand was laden with produce, Vayitzia Lachutz, and then he extended it outside, which is a classic case of doing an Akira for the Malacha Vayitzah. So Tanicha the Asalach Zir. We learned in one Braisa that it's prohibited to bring your hand back after you already stretched it onto that domain. But Tani Idach Mutalach Zir, and another Braisa said that it is permitted to retract it. So the Gemara wants to say, My Lab, Hakim Mifilki, wouldn't it make sense to say that they're arguing on this question? The one that says it's prohibited to retract your hand says that the hand has its own halacha of a separate domain, as we see, it's not part of the body, and that it has the halacha of a karmelist, which is somewhere in between Rosh Hashanah and Shasa Yachid. It's neither here nor there, and that is you can't bring from a karmelist to Rosh Hashanah or Rosh Hashanah, so therefore you can't retract it. And the other one that says that it's permitted to bring him back says, no, the Rabbanan did not penalize him. They didn't give it a separate din of a karmelis. And therefore, although you did started doing something that's forbidden, you're allowed to bring it back. So the Gemara says, loy, not true. The kuleyamik karmelis dami, in essence, we could say that everybody agrees that we gave this hand as a new halachic reference as a karmelis. And still it wouldn't be a challenge why the one that says it's permitted to retract your hand. Because it depends. Kan lamata masara, kan lamala masara. That one, the case that says it's prohibited to bring your hand back is that your hand is lower than 10 tefachim. The one that says that it's permitted to bring your hand back is talking about higher than 10 tefachim. And that is the aver of Rosh Hashanah, the ear space of Rosh Hashanah, of the public domain, higher than 10 tefachim is not considered part of Rosh Hashanah. So therefore, when you're, let's say you're extending your hand from Rosh Hashanah to Rosh Hashanah, so if it's lower than 10 tefachim, so the other Rabbanan penalized it, and they said that since you started doing something that's forbidden, or you're in the airspace of forbidden, they considered his hand like a karmelis, and that you can't retract it back. But when your hand is higher than 10 tefachim, where there the airspace of Rosh Hashanah is a makom tur, it's considered totally exempt, and there's no isra of haitzah of transferring in that airspace. As the Mishnah Hazarik and Daf Kuf says, that someone that throws four amis to a wall that's higher than your tefachim, it's like throwing it in the ear, and you're exempt, because there is no halachic status of Rosh Hashanah of the public domain higher than 10 tefachim. Therefore, there they didn't penalize, and that's because you didn't do any isra at all. If you extended your hands higher than 10 tefachim, as long as it never came lower, you're still in, so to speak, free airspace, and therefore you're allowed to return your hand. Taisus says that if that's the case, so then even higher than yud, the ketchila should also be permitted to, so to speak, do the haitzah, because that's a makom tur. So why are we even saying that you start off doing something wrong? You'd even start doing something wrong, you're allowed to always do higher than 10 tefachim. So Taisa wants to say the chiddush is that even if he initially did the haitzah lower than 10 tefachim, what that other b'raisa is saying, that you're allowed to retract, if you, so to speak, then bring it higher than 10, then you could go back and we don't penalize you there, as long as when you're bringing it back, you're higher than 10 tefachim, that's also okay. And that would be the difference between lower than 10 tefachim, higher, whether you're permitted to take it back or not, if you're in, so to speak, prohibited airspace or permitted airspace, and there we didn't penalize you. So that's the one option the Gemara gives regarding this machlokes of the brises, which would not resolve the question of Abaye. Vibay seimam, or another approach to the steer in the brises, is idi v'idi lamata masara, v'lavka karmelis dami, that both of them are talking about cases when they're lower than 10 tefachim, and both agree that we did not give the hand the status of a karmelis, that it's, in other words, that it should have like a reshus to itself as its own domain. And it's not difficult why one says that you're allowed to retract and one says not. Because one is talking about that you had extended your hand from when it was still day before Shabbos, and one is talking about that you extended your hand after dark. In other words, the one that says you extended it from when it was still day, you stretch out your hand, and then when it was dark already, then you want to bring it back. With there, it's not, we didn't give the hand its own reshus. Rather, there we said that it goes that the hand is, so to speak, an extension of the body, and that is because since you never did anything, we didn't penalize you. You only stretched out your hand before Shabbos, so now once Shabbos starts, we never had, so to speak, a halachic status on this hand that was outstretched because it never did anything wrong. So it's already Shabbos now, it's already after this man, and your hand's outside, you're allowed to bring it back because, again, you didn't start doing any malacha, and therefore, even though it's lower than 10 tefachim, and it's a karmel, you can bring it back. However, the Braisa that said that it's forbidden to take it back is if, let's say, you stretched out your hand from when it was already Shabbos. So then we penalized you, but not that it should have its own reshus, so to speak, that it's like a karmelis, because then even if you had stretched out from before day, it would be forbidden. Rather, it's just a knas ba'alma, and that is because the person had already done an akira, so that's why we said that, it was, so to speak, once it's already dark, if he did a kira when it was already Shabbos, then we said you can't bring it back. Just that's tam, so to speak, a kanas, a penalty that was imposed, not because we gave it a halachic status of a karmelis, because tam, you started doing an issa, now we're going to penalize you, you can't go bring your hand back. But in essence, the halachic status of it is not a karmelis, and that's why if you stretched it out from before Shabbos, you could bring it back. As the Gemara says, if you stretch it out before Shabbos, so the Rabban didn't penalize you because you didn't do anything wrong. But if you had stretched your hand out when it was already dark, it was already Shabbos, then the Rabban penalized you. You started doing something forbidden. Now go ahead. Now you can't go bring it back. So the Gemara asks that on this resolution of the Braisa, to the contrary, it would seem that the logic should go in reverse. And that is, you should say the other way around. That is, that if you did the akira, you removed it from when it was still day, and that is the ishadi leila osel dechiv chatas, that if now on Shabbos you would, so to speak, throw it down and you would so to speak, release it on Shabbos, you wouldn't come to achiv chatas because you never did an akira. You had removed it from before Shabbos, and that was in your hand from when it was already before Shabbos. If you just let it go, you would just be doing a hanacha. So there, liknesu rabban. There, the rabban should penalize you and say, why are you putting yourself in a situation where your hand is extended from one domain to another? Because you're never going to come to any chiv deraisa, even if, so to speak, you give up and you let go and you let it drop, you're not going to be over deraisa. So we should mandate that you should leave your hand there. However, mishachashecha, regarding the case of when you had done Nakira, you removed it from when it was already dark. In other words, you did an Nakira on Shabbos. The Ishadi lay Asibhul Dechiv Chatas, where there, if you, so to speak, give up and say, I'm not leaving my hand here the whole Shabbos, and you release it and you let it drop to the floor, there you're going to become Dechiv Chatas because you had already done your Akira, and now we don't let you bring it back because we're penalizing you. So you have to leave your hand outstretched, and it's only 2 o'clock in the afternoon. Shabbos ends at 9 o'clock, 7 hours. You're going to say, forget about it and you just drop it. Now you just did your hanacha. So then you're going to come to Chiyuv Chatas. So loylik nesu rabban. The other rabban should not penalize the person because then the person is, so to speak, we're putting you in a situation where you might come to be chayiv on a karma chatas. And that is as follows. If a person stretches his hand out from before Shabbos, where if we say it's forbidden for him to bring it back, so he's going to, so to speak, he's going to drop it. So to make it easier on him, he's not going to come to Chiyuv Chatas because, again, he didn't do an akira on Shabbos. He only did the hanacha. And he did an Issa D'Rabbanan because he did part of it, which is, as we learned in our Mishnah, that when one does the akira, one does the hanacha, they're both potter, but it's forbidden. So the other Rabban said that although the other Rabban penalized him that you shouldn't bring it back because at most he's going to be chayiv on just doing the hanacha, which is just an Issa D'Rabbanan. But where, the Gemara is asking, but where he already did the akira for when it was Shabbos, when it was already past nighttime, that if he, so to speak, would let go of it now on Shabbos because of the penalty that he has to leave his hand outstretched, that we say he can't bring it back. So it's going to come out that we're going to obligate the person that if he did this b'shogeg, he's michayev achatas because he didn't akira and anocha. So the Rabbanu should not penalize him because better that we shouldn't penalize him because or else we might cause the person to be chayev on a chil Shabbos deraisa. So why are you saying that that's how you're resolving the contradiction that the one that says is permitted to bring it back as if you did it before Shabbos, the one says that forbidden is if you did you started doing something wrong on Shabbos, it should be in reverse. That the one that said that you did it before Shabbos, then we should penalize you because the most you'll be chayiv is Rabbanu, but one that says you did it on Shabbos should be the one that we say you should be permitted to take back because if we penalize you, you might come to be over on the chil Shabbos deraisa. However, the Gemara does say, umidaloi commission in hachim, from the fact that we did not give that answer, to the contrary, we said in reverse, as we said before, so tifshe d'Rav Bibi Bar Abaya. So let us resolve the question that was posed by Rav Bibi Bar Abaya regarding this same type of a situation. And that is, the boy Rav Bibi Bar Abaya, Rav Bibi Bar Abaya asked the following question. He said, hidvik pas betana, if someone attached bread to an oven, and that is, he did it on Shabbos by mistake, and then he remembered that it was Shabbos before it got baked. In other words, he put in the dough and it didn't bake it. It takes time for it to bake. However, there's a halacha that says that Radius Hapas, taking down bread from the oven, which was a special way of doing it, is a shvus, it's an isid rabbanim, because it's not a malacha, but it's a chachma, and therefore we consider it an isid rabbanim. So the question of Bibi Baya posed was as follows. Did we say that it's permitted for the person that by mistake, so to speak, started that he's going to bake on Shabbos, he put it into the oven, did we permit him to take it down to be over isid rabbanim of Radias Hapas, of taking them before we come to the Issa de Raisa that would obligate them in the Karmachatas, or did they not permit the person to take it down? And that is, did they permit him to be over Issa de Rabbanon, and that is to do the Radia before it bakes, and that it'll be Chaya for the Malacha, Amalacha of Afiyah, which is the Issa of baking on Shabbos, or did they not permit him to take it down and to take it out of the oven? And this, so therefore, the Gemara says that this is the same type of question that should be answered from our Gemara. And that is, the Chachamim did not let anyone be over on their, so to speak, penalties and their Isurim because of a concern that if someone won't be able to withstand that, they'll come to do a greater Isur. As the Gemara says, Tifshud lo hitiru. Let us resolve from this Gemara that we're discussing over here to Rav Biba Baya's question, that we do not say that it's permitted, because that l'chur is the same type of case. That here we're saying that if a person's going to have to keep his hand outstretched, if he already did the kira on Shabbos, they might come to just give up and drop it down. So this Issa d'Rabbanan is putting the person in a situation where he's going to be over an Issa d'Raisa. So that should resolve about Rav Biba Baya's question. We said, could a person be over Issa d'Rabbanan to save himself from the malacha, the Raisa of the afiyah of letting it bake on Shabbos, because it didn't bake it, he could still sort of take it down, but these are obvious drabanan. From the fact that we say that here we don't let the person be so to speak, bring his hand back in, because it's the drabanan, we imposed it, even though it's coming to the Raisa, it should be the same thing. Sigma says, Halakasha Vatifsha, it's not a problem. Go ahead, resolve the Rabbi Abaye's question, that it would be that it is prohibited that we don't let the person take down the bread and be obvious drabanan, the same stuff as the Raisa. No, you have to, so to speak, with the Isra Ban doesn't let you take it down, and yes, you'll be over Isra Daraisa, which is the same as our Gemara was saying, that even though the person did the Akira on Shabbos, we say no, he's not bringing his hand back in, even though he's very likely going to come to be over Isra Daraisa of having it drop. That's one Teretz the Gemara gives. The Ibai saying, Mul Oil Mloy Tifshin. If you want, you could say that although from our Teretz and our Gemara, it seems like Rabbi Ibai's question, you can't resolve it. And Mloy Kasha. And there's three different approaches the Gemara gives to show why it's different. And that is because the Gemara says we're going to give a different teretz for the stira from the brises, for the contradiction of the brises, which will give a different teretz, not regarding if it was from before day or from evening, which would then go ahead and, so to speak, prove Rabbi Baya's question. We're going to go back to that contradiction and say three different terutzim, and therefore has nothing to do if someone put it out before Shabbos or after Shabbos, and therefore it won't resolve Rabbi Baya's question regarding if he's going to have an isda abonav bring it back, which will make him be over Issa d'Raisa, because we're not talking about that. And the Braises are discussing something else. As the Gemara says, V'loy kash, kan b'shoigig, kan b'meizid. That one Braise is talking about, the one that says that you're allowed to bring your hand back in, is talking about that you did it by mistake. And this case that says that you're not allowed to bring it back as if you did it deliberately. And as the Gemara explains, b'shoigig l'kansur abon, when the person does it inadvertently, he does it by mistake, the Rabban did not penalize him because he didn't mean to do it. But Mazid Kansur Rabban does it deliberately. The Rabban says, wait, you started doing it wrong. You did an Akira, which we say in Aladu. You did it deliberately. Then we penalize you and we don't let you take it back. And so that is, as Rashi explains, so therefore this has nothing to do with Rabbi Baya's question regarding if we see if we penalize a person or not, and it'll come that he might come to Issa d'Raisa, has nothing to do now the new resolution of the two brises. And that is not, we can't bring a proof to his question whether that it would be forbidden to take the bread down and save yourself from this d'Raisa, or whether it would be permitted. And that is because over here, where we didn't penalize the person when he did it by mistake, it's not because we're concerned that maybe he's going to drop it from his hand and therefore he's going to come to do Issa d'Raisa, so therefore we want to save him, and we let him, so to speak, transgress the Rabbanon to resolve his question. That's not true. It's just because he never did it Issa b'meizid. He didn't do anything on purpose, deliberately, and therefore his bringing his hand back is not even an Issa d'Rabbanon. And if not for the penalty, we wouldn't penalize the person anything. which is the case of when the person does a bemezid, it's only because of a penalty, not because he did a bemezid or b'shoigig to save him from a deraisa or not. But regarding this case of radiyas apasa, bringing the bread down, which is a shvus, it's issur d'rabbanan, and there was a gzeira with the minion of so to speak, of bezdin, that it's usher to do, and this, that you want to save yourself beforehand, not to come to chiv chatas, for that d'rabbanan did, were not mevatel the gzeira. So therefore wouldn't be a raya of heter from the case of shoigig, where we let him bring his hand back. Similarly, it wouldn't be a raya for the case of Isser from the fact that we do penalize the one who did it on purpose, and even though he might come to drop it, and therefore we should see that it should be forbidden to take the bread down. That's not a proof either, because there we don't have to be concerned that maybe he's going to drop it, that he'll be chayv in the Mises Bezdin, because maybe he won't drop it. But here, where we, so to speak, if we would penalize the person not to let him take the bread down, then definitely he would be chayv in the Mises Bezdin and the Chiv Darai. So there, maybe we would let him do it. So therefore, again, from the way we're now resolving the contradiction in the Braises, then one that we permitted to take back was Rishaygigu, the one that forbidden to take back was Bemezid. From each of those cases, you can't prove whether permitted or usher regarding Rav Bibar's question regarding taking it down, the bread before it bakes, to be even Isser Dabbanan, to save oneself from an Isser Chamer of Isser Dereisa. That's one teretz of resolving the contradiction. Bibar Seima, another way of resolving the braises, are Idri Idri Bashaygigu, they're both talking about when you did it by mistake inadvertently. However, the machlokes is they argue if we penalize when someone does it by mistake on account of the case when someone does it deliberately, and that is marsaver kansushaygotamezid, the one that says that it's forbidden to bring it back even though you did it by mistake, is that we penalize the one who did it by mistake, that on account of maybe you might come to do it deliberately, and therefore we said even when you did it by mistake you can't bring it back. The other one says, no, we don't penalize the one that did it inadvertently on account of the case when someone does it deliberately, and therefore, if it was b'shoigig, you could bring your hand back in. A third teretz to how to resolve the contradiction of the braises is, we didn't penalize a person to bring his hand back in, because although he started doing something wrong, but bringing it back in is really, there's nothing wrong with that. So why is the case of the person, of the braise that says, you're not allowed to bring it back in? Because kan la'oisachatzer, the one that says that you're allowed to bring it back is told might bring it back to that same yard that you're standing in. Then we continue on to the top of Dal Adam and Aleph. Kan l'chatzar cheres. This case that says that it's forbidden to bring it back in was a reference to a different yard than the person is standing in. When you're in the same yard that you're in, so you can bring it back in. But for another yard that's near that yard, so let's say you're extending your hand into one property and you can't put it down, that would be anocha. So instead you want to put it down in another yard. That, we said, is usher to do. As the Gemara says, as Rav had asked from Rav Nachman the following question, if someone's hand was laden with fruit, with produce, and he extended it to the outside. The question was, what's the halacha? Can you bring it back to the yard that you're in? So Amalei Muti says, yes, Muti, there's no knas, as this third teretz of the Gemara is giving. There's nothing wrong that you're doing, and you bring it back in. So then they asked him, what would be the halacha? Could I bring it back to a different yard? Amalei Asa, so that's forbidden. So what's the difference? They're both not extending into that other domain, it's just bringing it back. So he answered him, L'chitechel Allah kur de milcha. When you go ahead and measure out for me a kur of salt, which is a type of a jest that he answered to him. He says, if you measure for me a kur of salt, then I'll tell you the reason. Or another pshat Rashi gives is that if when you go ahead and you eat a core of salt, in other words, how can you say such a thing? You can't compare the two cases. So he's telling him, like, what do you mean? And he answered as follows. There, his intention was not fulfilled because he ended up bringing it back to exactly where he took it from. That's why it's mutter. That's why it's permissible. And however, that case over there was talking about where his intention was fulfilled, and that is he took it out from that property where he took it from. That's why it's forbidden. That is, as we said, that this person had something in his property where he obviously wanted to take it out from there, from that yard that was in, to another place. So when he brings it back in, so his intention wasn't fulfilled. So therefore, Rabban didn't make an exeris. They said, you're allowed to take it back in. But if you're going to ultimately bring it to another yard, so there his intention was fulfilled, that at least, so to speak, it's not where it started, although it's not to the place that he wanted to bring it to. So therefore, the Rabban would geyser that maybe a different time, since we allowed you to put it into another yard, that you might bring it to Rishas Rabim. There the Rabban said that you can't even bring it back to that yard. You have to bring it back necessarily to the place where you took it to. So those are three different ways of resolving the contradiction of the braises, and neither one has any relationship to the question of Rabbi Babai regarding the shiloh that he had. If you're baking bread and it didn't bake yet, can you, so to speak, be over Issa Drabana of Radiya Sapas to save oneself from the Issa Deraisa of the Amaloch of Afiyah of baking on Shabbos?